nun alles. Das ist in Polen nun alles.
In a way, this part is the most important part of the Haggadah.
That's the result of the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim. It's being quoted from the Mishnah, but the Mishnah says Rabbi Gamliel היה אומר כל מי שלא אמר שלושה דברים לפסח עושה את חובתו. It's Halacha in the Rambam in Shulchan Aruch. The way we say it in the Haggadah, this is a crucial thing. If someone skipped the next paragraph, forgot to say it for many reasons, or some Chachamim say he said it without understanding, the whole thing, what he did, the preparation for Leila Seder is in vain. Is Machloket Amud Chachamim, what does it mean, Lo Yata Do Chovato, he did not fulfill his obligation, if it means he did not do the Haggadah, at all it means the whole time he said the Haggadah is worthless, Onek is going to say the next paragraph. This is for sure. Some Chachamim even go further. What it means is not only the Haggadah is worthless, what he's going to eat is worthless. Even though there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, there's a mitzvah from Chachamim in our time to eat maror, there's a mitzvah from Torah in time of the Migdash to eat the sacrifice of Pesach, Samson Ben Gamliel says a statement to have it, will not say the next paragraph, and understand the next paragraph, even though what he chewed in his mouth means nothing. You must know what you're going to do in the meal, and you have to understand the reason why are you going to do it. And if you forgot to do it, or for any reason you did not say it, you did not fulfill the Haggadah, you did not fulfill according to Chachamim, the mitzvah itself, you're going to say bracha, alach elat matzah, you're going to say matzah, it's nothing. You don't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. This is something very strange that I have to say that. Okay, you want me to know it? Okay, I'll know it. Okay, fine. You want me to know the three things that are crucial, it's called Pesach, Matzah, Maror, fine. So tell me I should think about it. So the other thing is called Kavanah ben Mitzvot, that you have to have a certain Kavanah, that you have to have your brain and your thoughts inside the thing that what you do. It's when you aim into it, it's no, I do it with a certain purpose, that's my purpose, that's the reason for that. But you don't have to say that. You don't have to say it with your mouth. So it would be sufficient, would be enough, or we here should have said, this is, if you know what you're going to do, those three items that you're going to be doing to eat in Tavet HaMidrash, in our time is two items, and while I still have to say that this thing was done and was eaten in Tavet HaMidrash, it says, have it in mind, as we said in America, have it in mind, but you got to say it with your mouth, I have to say it with my mouth. He says, you want me to fulfill the mitzvah? I know, I have to eat matzah. Okay, you want me to know what is the reason? The reason what Rabbi Gamliel is going to say in a minute? Okay, I keep it in mind. For example, Chachamim say, in Chag HaSukkot, the first piece of challah bread that we eat in the Sukkah, we have to have in mind, this is Zecher L'Ananei HaKavod. This is to remember the clouds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on us in the desert. But you don't have to say it with your mouth. Every time that the Gemara says mitzvot tichot kavanah, every mitzvah that you do, you should think about it, and you should have in mind the reason what you do it, if it needs a reason, if it doesn't need a reason, you should think that I do it because Hashem told me to do it. But you don't have to say it with your mouth. That's the only time that you have to open your mouth, and you got to say this. Then Gamliel said, if you're not going to say it with your mouth, forget about it. Can you forget about it? Hashem ate the matzah, and I was thinking, why do I eat matzah? Because what Gamliel is going to say in a minute. So I had the whole thing in my head. I have it written in the Haggadah, and then just, you know, I read it in my eyes. No, you got to say it with your mouth. You have to move your mouth. You have to move your lips. Let's move my lips. What is this? It's Shema Yisrael. This is just Haggadah Shel Pesach. Okay, so you want me to know why I have matzah? Okay, read my eyes. Nothing is wrong with that. It's called Tavot Torah, you fulfill all the mitzvahs. And he said, no, it's not enough to read with your eyes. The rest of the Haggadah you can read with your eyes, you don't have to say that. I said, that paragraph you must say with your mouth. And if you did not say it with your mouth, you finished. I mean, the whole Leila Seder was in vain. Your wife cooked for nothing, and you ate for nothing, the whole thing was for nothing. very, very strange. By the way, yeah, women in death mitzvah are exactly as men, in a way, maybe more than men, in a way. Because the Gemara says, "Bishchut nashim tkamei sadeh mitzrayim," the Gemara says, "The reason we came out of Egypt because of the holy ladies." In a way, this machloket among the chachamim, some chachamim said that ladies in certain things on Pesach are in such a high level, they are more obligated to do than men, in a way. So yes, that's what Rav Gam Yelif Samishna says, this is what the Agadah said, that you have to say it with your mouth, and it's so crucial that even though you had it in mind and you did not say, it's not good, and if you did not do it, it means you did not fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah Shal Pesach, this mitzvah, to talk about Pesach, he did not fulfill it. As well as Chachamim said, not only he did not fulfill the mitzvah, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of eating it. By the way, it's a very strange, if I would say it's a very strange thing, but there's no obligation any other time to use our mouth to eat. The only time in the Torah says you must eat is the night of Pesach. It doesn't say in the Torah that you have to eat any other time. It doesn't say. The only time that you have to eat and you have a mitzvah to eat is on the night of Pesach. Of course, we like to believe that on Shabbat it's a mitzvah to eat. It's true. Shabbat and Chag is a mitzvah to eat, but only if you have pleasure from the food. If you hate eating, or you hate the food, or you're too full, or you want to go on a strict diet, and you love to just not to eat, you don't have to eat. You have to eat only because eating gives you pleasure on Shabbat. Mitzvah le'aneget ha-Shabbat, as the Rambam says. So that's a mitzvah on Shabbat, to eat three times, is because you love the food. If you hate it, and if you hate eating, or you don't want to eat for any reason, and eating will not give you pleasure, you don't have to eat. Only time that you got to eat, it doesn't matter if you like it, you don't like it. If you're on diet, not on diet, it says this is the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach, you got to eat. That's where, No, you have to eat meat in the time of Bet HaMikdash. Meat you have to eat only at home, remember?
Yeah.
Right. No, you don't have to. No, you have to have matzah, you have to have wine, and marrow. That's it. You don't have to eat no fish, no chicken, no kugel, no tulip, nothing. But in time of Bet HaMikdash, you also have to have a piece of meat. Again, the size of the meat that you have to have is 27 grams. It's called kazayit, the size of an olive. The same size that you have to eat is matzah, the size of an olive. The rest is just, you know, it's optional. You want to eat, you want to eat fish. But the reason that what Hashem told you to eat on the night of Pesach is the time of Tamigash, is a piece of meat from the sacrifice of Pesach, called Pesach, and a piece of matzah, again, the size of an olive, and marrow, the size of an olive. That's what you got to eat. And it's very strange, it's no other time in the year that we have to eat. Of course, Chachamim will tell you that you have to eat there Erev Yom Kippur. Chachamim will tell you that you have to eat on Shavuot. Chachamim will tell you that you have to eat on Purim. Chachamim will tell you that you have to eat on Shabbat. But again, this is not something that you must do. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. I said you have to do it on the night of Pesach. That's the only time in the year that you must use your mouth and eat. Very strange. If it's good for the holy not to eat, why Hashem wants me to eat on Pesach? Hashem wants me to remember the matzah. Okay, I can hold the matzah in my hand and I just you know shake it. He says, "It is the matzah." He says, "I have a matzah." He says, "To remember, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, we came out of Egypt. Hakadosh Baruch Hu made the dough that we carried on our head matzah. I don't have to eat because of it. I don't have to eat it. They didn't eat it. They carried it on the head. They didn't eat it. So the reason why we eat matzah, I'm going to be able to say in a minute why." I said, that's reason is sufficient for me, just remember, and I have a picture. I was watching today, I saw my children went to a store, they bought a tie. And then monthly they sell ties. I said, the color of the tie is like yellow beige with a little piece that looks like matzah. It's everybody. They said, it's all over now. Oh, okay, I thought only in a fanatic city. So, you know, it's a very nice thing, you know, you don't have to eat matzah, as long as you have this tie. It's perfect. You come to the shul, you say, what is this, what chag is this? Don't you see my tie? If Hashem wants us to remember the secret of matzah, you don't have to use your mouth for that. Enough, you have it a tie, you have the picture, you have something on the table, but you don't have to eat it. I have to eat it. The same question is about Maror as well. But the same thing is about Maror. Again, I don't have to eat Maror. I don't have to eat it. If Hashem wants me to remember, there's no problem. I'll put it on the table. I'll put it on the table and I'll remember. Whatever the Maror has to remind me, it's going to remind me on the table, not in my mouth. So we go to page and give me with your permission, Pesach Matzah Maror, that's the first line. Again, you got to say that. You got to say that sentence. Pesach Matzah Maror. It's not enough to read with your eyes, and it's not just enough to eat it. You got to say that. It says, I'm reading Matzah. It's not enough. Before you eat the Matzah, you got to say that sentence. If you forgot, again, you were busy with it, it means you miss the whole mitzvah of the service. This is what you got to say. This is the first thing you have to explain the, what it means Pesach. Pesach really it means a sacrifice. And you say, in our time we don't have it. So you say like this, Pesach, what you know, is much of the Shkayam. He says, this piece of meat, what, that's not I'm eating it, but my forefathers used to eat it in time of the Tamikdash. Al Shuma, why did they eat it? Why did they eat it? He says, they ate it because of a reason. Al Shum Shepasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Batev Batev Mitzrayim. That Hashem skipped on the houses of the Egyptians, of our fathers in Egypt. Shneema v'amatem zeh pesach ul Hashem, shepasach batev yisrael mitzrayim, zeh mitzrayim v'dvatim yitzit. And this is the reason that the holiday is called Pesach, it's the second part is called Pesach, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu skipped on the houses. Now skipped on the houses, again, this Hashem skipped on the houses because of the blood that we smeared on the doorpost, and this blood came from an animal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to eat this animal because that animal so-called caused that HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped on the houses. And this is in the time of the Tamidah, they used to eat this piece of meat. In our time, we don't eat this piece of meat. We just remember what did happen in Egypt. And this is what you got to say if you don't say that, even though you don't eat today. Tonight, I mean, the night of the first, you don't eat it. This is the only time of the Tamidah, only in the time of the Mishkan. But nevertheless, you got to say that. You got to say that even though you don't, actually I'm not going to eat it. Today is not Bet HaMikdash. So I have just to say, you know, in time of Bet HaMikdash was such a thing that people ate it. Okay, people ate it, but today I'm not eating it, right? So why I have to say in time of Bet HaMikdash, my father used to eat 2,000 years ago a piece of meat, and that piece of meat that he ate is called Pesach, the piece of meat. And the reason why he ate it, okay, but tonight I'm not eating it. So why does he say that? Why does he say that? Matzah zu shan uchlim on shum ma'ayin says, why do you eat matzah on the night of Pesach? So you got to say that. Forget about it. The reason, you have to use your mouth. And you have to say, what is the reason you're eating matzah on the night of Pesach? Al shim shalo yispik b'tzikam shal avotenu l'achmit. The those of our fathers, when they came out of Egypt, did not have the time to rise. אז שנגלה להם מלך מלכי המלכים, הקדוש ברוך הוא בגלה מיד, הקדוש ברוך הוא revealed himself in Egypt so quickly, and he took us out, and when we left Egypt, we left with the dough. And we left the dough, and the dough did not rise, did not become חמץ. שנאמר, it says in the Torah, והפעו את הבתים שתום צהום גבלו מצאת כמו חמץ, it says they took the dough, and the dough, the Midrash says they put it on the head, and the sun baked it, and it became matzah. It says, what is behind it? It says, why you took the dough? It says, we took the dough. Kilo King Roshul Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, chased us out of Egypt. We could not wait any longer. The Gam Tzilad HaSulayim did not prepare any food. So therefore, we took the dough, and the dough did not rise, not become Hamet, and the dough became Matzah. And therefore, tonight, on the night of Pesach, I'm having Matzah. I'm having Matzah, why? Because the following day, when we left Egypt, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made some kind of a miracle that all the doughs, can you imagine, a few hundred thousand, a few million people, they took our dough out of Egypt. It says the dough never rose, and then the dough never became chametz, and therefore, tonight, I eat matzah. It's tonight, maybe you should eat tomorrow, it's not tonight. I mean, the thing happened the next day. It says Pesach in the morning, maybe at that time Hashem should tell us, you know, why don't you have Matzah in the morning? Because Matzah in the morning is to remember that a few thousand years ago your father went out of Egypt, in the morning he went out, and then he took some dough along with him, and the dough never rose, and the dough became Matzah, so Hashem wants me to remember it. Instead Hashem said, no, you have to eat it in the night. Baruch Tuchlu Matzot, the Gemara says, the Torah says, the mitzvah to eat Matzah is only at night. At night. It says, why tonight? Because in the morning, when we came out of Egypt, it says in the morning you came out of Egypt. So why do you matter tonight? Should we do it? Hashem should say in the morning. But he continues and he says in our time, it's of course Moses Chachamim says Mid Rabbanan, Chachamim say that you have to eat it. Only the Talmud Amigdash, Hashem said we should have Mahol together with the Matzah and together with the Korban Pesach with the meat. In our time, Chachamim said nevertheless, you should continue to have the Mahol, even though it's only a symbol. But you got to say that. If you're not going to say that, it means you missed the whole Lila Seder. As it's not enough just to read with your eyes, you have to say, Maror Zishan Nochim Ashuma. It says, why are we eating Maror? Ashum Shemirahua Mitzim Chavetim Mitzrayim. The Egyptian people gave us a hard time. In Egypt, to our fathers, Shenema Vemaror Zchayim Avodah Kasha, Bechom Yudim Chol Dor Zadeh, Eish Vavdash Shadolem Befarech. It says, whatever they could find to give us a hard job, they gave us a hard job. So the Maror, this is a vegetable the size of 27 grams, as the Shulchan Aruch. Whatever you eat is to remember the hardship that my father had in Egypt. I says there's no other time that we celebrate a celebration than at the same time of celebration we have to feel the agony. You have to feel, listen, I'm celebrating something. So celebrating was some redemption, some freedom, some all kind of good things that happened to me. And I was in trouble, and Baruch Hashem, Hashem helped me, and I celebrated. For example, the Shulchan Aruch, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, a person had an accident. So the same spot he goes, that every time he passes the spot, is to say, Baruch Shatad Nizvam Kom Azeh, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made me a miracle over here. Just to say. He passes it once a year. He says, Yidabracha, he says, Yidashem Malchut, he says, Baruch Atah, Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. שעשה לי נס במקום הזה. אז אז God, he made me a miracle over here. זה מצוות עושה. So every time, בתחת שלום, somebody, let's say, he had an accident someplace, and he comes over there, and he wants to celebrate it. חכמים say also, he should have like a small party for his family. Not a major party, on a yearly basis, on the day that he was saved. For example, the Gemara says, somebody, חכם שלום, was in jail. חכם שלום, somebody was sick in the hospital. In a very bad sickness. He comes out, so every year on the same day he came out, he should celebrate it. He should celebrate it. He should say, well, thank you very much that you helped me. Thank you very much that you redeemed me, you let me out of jail. You make a small party. And you have to say, Bracha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I say, but nobody will tell you that on that day also, on that celebration, you also have to feel some kind of sorrow, some kind of sadness, also to exercise or to do something to remind you of the hardship. For example, somebody came out of jail, he says every year to make like a little party to get out of jail. Can you imagine in the party he's going to buy handcuffs, and he's going to put handcuffs on his hand, and he says, what is the handcuffs? It's to remind me I was in jail. And he says, you don't have to do it. If you say, okay, well, thank you, get me out of jail, everybody understands you came out of jail. You don't have to show or exercise it. This is the only time you have to exercise in our calendar that somebody has to exercise in celebration. That is a happy moment that I Baruch Hashem, thank God, Hashem did something to me. It says also in the same time I have Maror. I says, what is this? It's to remember the hardship. He says, listen, when you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, thank you very much, Asher Garanu Garat Avotenu, thank you for taking me out of Egypt, everybody understand, you read the Haggadah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you, I was a slave over there, at our time, you saved me, I don't have to take something and so-called pinch myself, or do something to myself to remember the sorrow, to remember the hardship. It's not necessary, because now it's a celebration night. If you really want it, you might, if you want, do it in the day before Pesach, before you came out of Egypt. If you want to do it Erev Pesach, the day is a week before Pesach, even though I'm telling the time already did not work, because the Gemara said 6 months before we came out already we did not work. But again, if you want to remember some hardship, the Chavod before Pesach, do it for yourself, go to Home Depot, go buy some cement, some bricks, carry it on your back, to the least my father used to do it, and Baruch Hashem, he came down in the seder, and you sit down on the table, with the white tablecloth, thank God Hashem, you see, I don't have any bricks, and cement on my shoulder. But in the letter of seder itself, in the day of celebration, it is unheard to do such a thing, unheard such a thing. That's why, it's really, it's not necessary to do it, it's not necessary, to, not before, not after. Celebration is always celebration, and you never have to do Passover celebration, so-called to do such an act. It says, go take a bitter vegetable, put it in your mouth. It says it's going to burn. It's going to burn your mouth, or it's not going to burn your mouth. It's going to taste something that tastes that you don't enjoy as much. This is to remember the hardship involved. Also, the next question is that you don't have to put it in your mouth. Your mouth is not something that has to suffer because your father had a hard time in Egypt. If my father had a hard time in Egypt and you want to remember it, so the same thing, my father had a hard time. My father didn't have a hard time in his mouth in Egypt. The Egyptians did not stick any bitter thing in my father's mouth. The Egyptians made my father work very hard. He made my father work very hard. So you have to do something on your hands, maybe. Maybe you should pinch your hand. Maybe you should put your hand in the cold water. It says, if you want to remember, it's nothing to do with your mouth. You don't put it in your mouth. It's not even a vegetable. That's a bit of vegetable. The Gemara says there are five kinds of vegetables that are recommended to use on Pesach. Five kinds. Not six, not seven, five. Five. What five? I says, why five? I says, that's what it is, five. Halacha is, if somebody is stuck someplace and he cannot find any of those five, anything is good, any vegetables. You can cut some grass before the chag and put it on the table and you can eat it as well. It's also the same thing. It says, no, it doesn't have to be those five. But again, Shulchan Aruch says five. Five is the number that you should choose one of the five. I chose one. Something in Moran says, well, the best thing, says Shulchan Aruch, the best thing from the five, called number one priority, is what we call lettuce. The Gemara calls it chazeret, what we call horseradish, but really the halacha and the Mishnah, the Gemara, and Shulchan Aruch, the best thing is lettuce. Why lettuce is the best? Well, lettuce is not as sharp and bitter as the others. And lettuce is not so bad. The Gemara says, no, lettuce has another reason why you should use lettuce. If you grow your lettuce, because when you grow lettuce, while it's growing, when it's small, it's very sweet. As the lettuce grows higher and bigger, then the lettuce loses the so-called the sweetness. It's not bitter, it's not very sharp, but again, compare to the beginning, it is so-called bitter. If you're going to take a piece of lettuce and you cut it from your garden, not the ones that come from Los Angeles that go over there in the refrigerator 5 years. It has the taste there. But if you had fresh lettuce, real fresh lettuce that you grow yourself in your backyard, or you can get it fresh, then the one that grows right away before it becomes a big piece of lettuce, then it's sweet. And then when it becomes big, it's not so sweet anymore. It's some kind of bitterness. This is a Gemara, that's the best. Take it from Maror, that's the best. Why? Since this lettuce is so-called sweet in the beginning and bitter at the end, in Egypt it was the same thing. It says sweet in the beginning, bitter at the end. What does it mean, sweet in the beginning, bitter at the end? What does it mean? I'll tell you what happened in Egypt. I won't tell you what happened in Egypt. One day, Paro came, and there's a salesman. You know, in America, everything is salesman. It's called double talk, you know. Says nothing, politician, you know. He talks nothing. I said this, he said this, he doesn't say anything. He says the power came the first day, told him, Mr. Listen, I don't know, maybe you want to help me to do some bricks, you know. And he took himself, the Gemara says he took a brick and he made like a chain on his chest, and the brick was on his chest, and Am Yisrael came here, for sure, why not? We came and we helped this guy power to do bricks. And the second day, Paro called the KGB, or you call it the one in Egypt, I don't know, Mossad, the Mossad in Egypt also?
No.
Ma, Shin Bet, what? What do you mean?
Ah? Mabahesh.
Mabahesh, oh, sounds good. Mabahesh. That's for the name itself, you know, to run away.
Amen.
So the next day, Paro sent the police, and told them, he said, okay, out of the houses, everybody, talking millions of people, go make bricks. He says, yesterday was a voluntary day. He says, whoever volunteered came. He says, today I force you. says the Gemara, so the first day was some kind of sweetness. The Paro spoke to us with sweetness, come to breakfast. And the following day already was with hardship, so it was bitter. Take lettuce, the best thing on Lila Feder. It says to remind you, when you have the lettuce in your hand, it says, oh, why am I lettuce? It says, lettuce is a special kind of vegetable, that when it's small, it's sweet. When it's big, it's bitter. To remind you, in Egypt it was the same system. It says, Paro the first day was a sweet talker. He promised, you know, before election everything. And then after the election, the whole thing was over. It says, that also have to remember on the night of Pesach. That's really irrelevant. What difference does it make as Paro the first day came as a salesman and was smiling to me and begged me and asked me and convinced me to come and volunteer to the bricks. And if he would have come this first day with force, and he would have told me, listen, what do you call it? Mahrasis, how do you call it?
Mabach.
Mabach. He said, the secret police will come the next one day, he says, Jews, concentration camp, Auschwitz, Hitler did not first come and tell us, you know what, why don't you help me out, another thing, the train came, Auschwitz. Buchenwald, Auschwitz, this is Paro could have done the same thing. He says, no, Paro didn't do it. The first day, the obviously Gemara will tell you that Paro was testing how many bricks everybody can make. But what if you don't have to do with, you know, with a sweet lip and to go and sweet lips and to go ask you, please do it, do it. Then Paro could have done, if he wanted to do it, so he would have done it. The way it says in the Torah, the way it says in the Torah says that Paro called an emergency meeting of its government. And he says, how many Chachmalo comes to Gemara and says that Paro called the government and said, listen, if you want to do something better to the Jews, you want to do something better to the Jews, you have to find a way to kill them without getting punished. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end punishes whoever does bad things to the Jews. So we have to find a way how to get rid of the Jewish people without getting punished. It should not backfire at us. The Gemara says that Paro and his government came and they came to the conclusion that the best thing is to throw the Jews into the water. Because then the punishment should have been by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us and drown us in the water. Since the HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to Noach no more Mabul, he will never get the punishment. That's the sentence of Havag Chakmalo, that's in Parashat Shmot, that Paro calls up his advisors and they said, let's find a way, if you want to destroy the Jewish people, we have to find a way 100% that nothing bad should happen to us. And they came to the conclusion, that's how we get rid of the Jews, throw them into the water, and that's the end of it. In the meantime, in the Torah in the meantime, the following sentence is nothing to do with water. After the sentence that Paro called his advisors, and he told them, listen, let's get rid of the Jews, and the best way to get rid of the Jews is to throw them into the water. All of a sudden, the Torah says, the Egyptian already went and took them Israel and made them build Pitom and Ramses, took them, and Meorot Chem Avodah Kasha, gave them a hard time, and says, where is the water? There's no water. Then he called Shifra and Pua, if you remember, Yechaviriyam, told them, kill the baby Jews, while the mother giving birth. Again, no water yet. At the end, one day, Paro said, okay, I'll be being thrown into the water. Again, as far as Amisrael is concerned, Paro never said to anybody to go take a Jew and throw him into the Nile. Never happened. Even though at the meeting that he called his government, he said, well, we have to do it in that way only to protect ourselves from a punishment. Hashem will punish us. He said, well, so how are we going to escape punishment if we throw them into the water? In the meantime, he threw us into the water, only threw some babies, but only after he took us and he sent us to labor camps, and after Shifra and Pua, Miriam and Yocheved were ordered by Paro to kill the babies while the mother is giving birth. Again, this is just not what the government discussed in the meeting. Another point, with your permission, this sacrifice of Pesach is very different than any other things in the Torah. So the way it says in the Torah, what we read in Shabbat, Parashat HaChodesh, Hashem tells Moshe, listen, go tell them to take a sheep or a goat and slaughter it and roast it and take everything and eat everything, it's fine. And you take Sefer Shmot Parashat Bo, that's what the paragraph that we read, it doesn't say one and maybe the most important part. And the most important part is that a person that does not have Brit Milah cannot participate in this sacrifice. Not only if he doesn't have Brit Milah, if he owns a slave, let's say a person went to a state, to a country, he bought himself a slave, something in Long Island, somebody had slaves ahead in the house, something in Long Island. I said, you can have, huh?
Woodman
it was. Was the Robert Lane?
The
Hamptons. The Hamptons, yeah. So if you own a slave, you bought a slave, you own a slave, okay, the slave is a slave. Okay, I said, I bought him, okay, I bought the slave. I said, the slave needs to have Brit Milah. I said, the slave needs to have Brit Milah? No, I don't want to give him Brit Milah. Well, if you don't want to give it enough to your slave, then you will not be able to participate in the sacrifice of Pesach. That's unheard in any other sacrifice, any other mitzvah. I said, you want to come to the Tamikdash, you want to bring any sacrifice of the Tamikdash. There's no form, a sheet, and ask you over there, this can help with Milah. It doesn't say in the Torah after with Milah. It's not really with Milah. I don't know why. I came from Russia. I didn't with Milah. I don't know why. I didn't have it. And there was no Maher, there was no knife. Was no sandak, was no wine, I didn't have Brit Milah. So he comes to the Tamikdash and says, here's my sacrifice. It doesn't say in the Torah that a person who has no Brit Milah cannot bring a sacrifice. And it doesn't say in the Torah any other place that even if you have Brit Milah and my slave doesn't have Brit Milah, that my slave will so-called not let me participate in Korban Pesach. When you come to the Tamikdash with the sheep and the goat, Mashiach will come, he comes to the Tamikdash, he can have an application. He says, sir, you have Brit Milah? Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Of course I have Brit Milah, Baruch Hashem, yeah. I bet God was my son there. I said, fine. He says, you have a slave? Yeah, I have a slave. So, did he have Brit Milah? Hey, what's your business? What's your business if my slave has Brit Milah or not? If your slave doesn't have Brit Milah, well, the little boy, you know, I just bought him. He's, you know, he's a month old. Sir, you cannot come to Beit HaMikdash. He said, what's the problem? I have Brit Milah. It's my sacrifice. He's not getting it from me. Leave him alone. What do you want from him? Doesn't matter. It's a very strange halacha. Again, this halacha was omitted by Moshe Rabbeinu, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we read on Shabbat. We read on Shabbat the paragraph that talks about Pesach, Korban Pesach, the sheep and the goat that Israel have to take, the sheep and the goat. Hashem should have said, first condition, tell Am Israel, first with Milah, not only your with Milah, if you own a slave, the slave with Milah. This paragraph about with Milah, you will find in the Torah, after the Exodus, after Am Yisrael came out of Egypt already, all of the Torah was saying, "Ve'davar Hashem Moshe el Aharon lemor, zechur kata Pesach, kol ben yechal lo yochal bo." It's the end of Parashat Bo. After Am Yisrael already Exodus came out of Egypt, all of the Torah says, "Listen, I want to tell you something. Somebody has doesn't have Brit Milah cannot come out of Egypt, cannot participate in Korban Pesach." He said, "Why didn't you tell it to me before?" So the man said, "Oh no, no, I Hashem told it to Moshe, but in the Torah is not written in the same spot." It says, originally, when Hashem wrote the Torah, Hashem told Moshe, listen, you write this paragraph in the Torah, tell them what happened in Egypt, tell them I told them in Egypt to sacrifice a sheep or a goat and to roast it, then we'll continue the story that on the midnight HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, and he killed the elderly, the Mechorot in Mitzrayim, and then Am Yisrael came out of Egypt, and they took the door along, and the story is over. By the way, Vedaber Hashem Shalemov and Aharon Lemor says, now tell them, write me the Torah now, that also I told you that a person without Brit Milah, or he has a slave without Brit Milah, cannot participate in Korban Pesach. They cannot participate. He says, why didn't you write this before? When you told me that I should tell them to take a sheep on the goat, you should have told me right away. Tell them immediately that a person without Brit Milah cannot participate. Hashem omitted this in the Torah at the beginning, and Hashem revealed it only afterwards, even though that Hashem said it to Moshe as well before in the Torah is after. Sari says like this, Rabotai. The way it says in the Torah, what we read on Shabbat, the sentence in the Torah, obligation of eating the sacrifice together with the matzah and together with the maror, the way the sentence is written in the Torah, the sentence is written this way. Ba'achlu et ha-basar ba'layla hazeh, says you should eat, the translation of the sentence, you should eat the meat on that night. Kliyesh, roast it, umatzot. Eat the meat roasted with the matzah. Al merurim yochluhu. On maror, you should eat it. Again, you should eat the meat roast with matzah. On maror, you should eat it. What do you mean on maror? With maror. The Torah said they should eat a piece of meat roasted with matzah and maror. That's enough sentence. Instead, the Torah says like this, you should eat roasted meat with matzah on al-merorim, on the maror. Again, the Torah repeats the word yochluhu, should eat it. See, you told me in the beginning of the sentence to eat it. The Torah doesn't have to end the sentence again. Eat it. You told me to eat it. And you don't just tell me to eat it on the maror, you just tell me eat with the maror. Like it says, eat the piece of meat with matzah, and should have been with maror. Doesn't say with, says on. So what's on mean? So the Rish says like this, the Midrash says the following, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell Am Yisrael to do Brit Milah, because in Egypt nobody did Brit Milah, besides Shevet Levi, nobody observed Brit Milah. And Moshe came to Am Yisrael and told them, listen, this is a dangerous time now, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come at midnight, is going to kill the elderly, and Hashem wants you to take a sheep or a goat and slaughter it and take the blood and smear it. So Am Yisrael says, no problem, no problem. So Moshe said, okay, no problem, but you have to do Brit Milah for this. So Am Yisrael says, no. This, we're not going to have. We're not going to have the blood. We're not going to have the sheep. We're not doing Brit Milah. What is this? Brit Milah, we don't believe it. So the Midrash that Moshe went and slaughtered his own sheep and roasted it. When he roasted it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought wind from Gan Eden, and the smell from Gan Eden came. And when the smell of Gan Eden came, Am Yisrael thought this is the smell of the roasted meat that Moshe is roasting. They ran to Moshe, whoever was around, and told Moshe, what is this good smell that we smell? It says, that smell we choke now. It's so good that we cannot hold our breath. By the way, it says Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says halacha that if you smell very good food, you should not swallow your saliva, you might choke on it. If you go next to a good bakery, or next to a good restaurant, and they have a special fan inside, you know, to tempt you to come inside, and you smell it outside, you're not allowed to swallow the saliva that you have in your mouth. You might choke on it. It's halacha and Shulchan Aruch. It's to be kosher. If it's not kosher, for sure, you're not allowed to smell it. Hamim said that Menashe came. Menashe was born, the son of Chizkiyahu. His mother was a holy lady. She was the daughter of Yeshayahu Nabi. And he was very, very bad. And then his grandson, Amon, was very bad. It's because the mother one time went on the street and she smelled on the street some kind of spices. The way they do in Manhattan, you know those Indian people, yeah. You know, what do you call it? I don't know what they call it.
Incense.
Huh? Incense.
Incense, yeah.
So she smelled it. From the smell she smelled it, and she was pregnant, and then she came out to be such a bad person in the beginning of his life, because his mother smelled some kind of a smell you should not smell. Smelling it.
His mother smelled it.
Also, his mother smelled it. Yeah, are you telling me?
Uh-huh.
No, you're not allowed to smell. You're not allowed to smell something that's forbidden to smell, no.
Right.
Because if it's not kosher, you're supposed to smell it, because the smell goes inside your neshama. So the Midrash says, the Gemara says that the Am Yisrael came to Moshe and they said to Moshe, listen, we can't hold it, you know, that we're choking on the smell from you, from the meat. So if you swear something that you must say, you must have a peace, so please Moshe give us a peace. And Moshe says, gladly, you know, your piece of meat will smell the same. You have to have this piece of meat, but you cannot have it because you have no brit milah. At that moment, everybody agrees to the brit milah. So-called, you were pushed to the corner by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do brit milah, by him bringing us those winds from Gan Eden that made this special smell that we thought that smell comes from the meat. It did not come from the meat, it came from Gan Eden, and that thing forced us to do brit milah, and then we did brit milah, and then Moshe said, okay, now you can eat this sheep, the goat that you slaughtered, it's going to have the same smell what you smelled before. And by the way, that's what Chachamim say. The Mishnah says in Masechet Tevachim, when the person brings the sacrifice, the Mishnah says you have to have in mind that you're bringing the sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for six things. And says one of the things that you have to have in mind is called Reach Nichoach. It says you have to have in mind that Hashem loves the smell. Hashem loves the smell of what? Of roasted bones and all the things that you throw on the altar. You can choke from it. Can you imagine there are thousands of animals being slaughtered by Hamidash and all being thrown on the altar, fire burning. This is what kind of smell you think that happened? Says the Mishnah, don't underestimate it. It's a very bad smell. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yipila Isha Mereach Sarah Kodesh. He said, you should know it's a miracle in Bet Hamidash. To the pregnant lady, if you take a pregnant lady, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, and you take the pregnant lady next to a place, the roast liver, and she has to stand over there. It says, all over Yerushalayim, can you imagine, hundreds of thousands of sacrifices in time of Bet Hamidash, burning, fire burning. Can you imagine, says the Mishnah, a pregnant lady, should smell it, she will lose the baby. And Bet Hamidash never a lady lost the baby. She didn't lose the baby. She lost the baby. What do you mean she lost it? The Mishnah says it's a miracle. And he said, what do you mean it's a miracle? What's the miracle? Of course, the Mishnah means Hashem made it a miracle. He says, no, you don't understand. And Bet HaMikdash, the smell of Bet HaMikdash was the smell of Gan Eden. This is really what the Torah says. If you remember, the night of Pesach, the Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav, eventually blessed Yaakov. Even though that he had some doubts about Yaakov, he says, "I call Yaakov, Elam the Esav." He says, "This, I don't know what creature is this." He says, "It sounds like Yaakov, but when I feel him, his hands like Esav." Nevertheless, he gave him a blessing. All the Chachamim is quite giving him a blessing. He had a doubt. He says, "You call up your wife. He says, Rivka, come inside. Who is this guy over here?" He says, "He's not my first son. He's not my second son. But who is the guy? Where did you bring him from?" He says, nevertheless, Yitzchak gives him bracha. He says, what made you give him bracha? It's not Esav. You want to give him bracha to Esav. You say, it sounds like Yaakov. So you have a doubt. So don't give it. He says, sir, hold on. Sit down next to me. I have to find out. We call, you know, the FBI, CIA. We find out who you are. Instead, he gives him bracha. He says, you know, I give him bracha. Because when Yaakov came inside, Yitzchak smells Gan Eden. Yitzchak smells Gan Eden. Why does he smell Gan Eden for? Because Yaakov, Rivka prepared a goat for Yaakov, for Yitzchak. This was the night of Pesach. And so when Yaakov brought it inside, he says, this piece of meat smells Gan Eden. He says, why it smells Gan Eden? He says, this is exactly what happened when we came out of Egypt. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he roasted his piece of meat, smells Gan Eden. It means winds from Gan Eden come along with the korban. Punchline, says the Midrash, so what? So, says the Midrash, at that moment came HaKadosh Baruch Hu and kissed every Jew on his lips. This is the connection, says the Ari, that really Hashem redeemed us. So the whole preparation, what we did in Egypt, was just to get to this point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's so-called should be connected to us. So-called, that's called the holy kiss, says Ari. It's called Nishikin. And I said, it means connection. It means getting together. This is the power of a kiss. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after we did Brit Milah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a kiss. So the whole thing was to bring us to that point that Hashem should connect to us. And this is really, if you go back, this is the secret of Haggadah Shel Pesach, that we have to say the Haggadah. Haggadah means you got to say. Otherwise we Kavanah Shel Pesach, it means just think about it and have the Kavanah, have the thought about it. No, you have to say, and you have to say with your mouth. This is, I have to say with my mouth. It says yes, because you have to prepare your mouth, so-called, for the connection, for the kiss of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every year on the night of Pesach, that's when Mitzvah Nuzi Yosef and Zohar says, that's night of redemption. This is what is the power of that night. So the power of the night, says Dari, says Zohar, is the kiss of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you can feel on your mouth. It says, you have to prepare your mouth. So the night of Pesach, this may be the only night that you have to use your mouth so much. First to say the Haggadah. And comes Rabbi Gamliel and says, Kol Shlo Amar to Shadon Pesach Vezeh Chavato. When he says, listen, the Haggadah, you know, if you read with your eyes, you don't understand anything, okay. But this is three things that's crucial you should say with your mouth, and you should understand it. So if we start from the last item, it's Maror, see how important it is. The Maror, Ari says, the numerical value of Maror is the same numerical value of death, Mavet. What's behind it? Ari says, when you eat the Maror, you should just eat the Maror, you should chew it with your teeth. And Allah Ha'iz, the Gemara says, it's not if you just gonna swallow the Maror. For example, you open up your mouth, and somebody will shoot, or call a home run, back into your mouth. Then, you didn't have to fulfill the mitzvah. It has to be in your mouth. Matzah is not like this. Matzah, you can just, somebody can shoot it inside your mouth, and it's okay. It's halacha. But Maror, you must have it in your mouth. You not only made it, you must chew it with your teeth if you still have teeth. You must have teeth. You must chew it. I said, what's behind it? This is not what the way you think that I have to remember the agony in Egypt. You never have to remember any agony in the celebration time. And even if it was that you need to remember it, so again, the suffering in Egypt was not with our mouth. It was just, you know, hard labor. So what is the thing that you have to put in your mouth? And also I want to know why we have five things in the Mishnah that the Mishnah says that these are the five preferred vegetables to have on the night of Pesach. And preferable chasa, what we call chazeret, because the beginning of it is sweet and the end is bitter. What's the significance? So this is what it means really is what this of the Gemara says, as long as Am Yisrael kept Brit Milah in Egypt, slavery did not stop. If somebody is going to ask you, when really slavery started in Egypt, the answer is when Am Yisrael decided not to do Brit Milah anymore. So Brit Milah was the cause of the hardship. So when the Torah will tell you, listen, we worked very hard in Egypt, and so you're going to ask, listen, I don't understand, Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, everything was fine, it was a paradise, Mitzrayim was paradise. It says, Tower after Yaakov died, everything, the Shvatim, Baruch Hashem, they were alive. It says everything was okay. They mean all of a sudden Levi died, finished. Paul came one day with his sweet lips and says, listen, why don't you come and help me to do bricks? He says, what do you think this man meant when he came out? He says, the Torah says, Shalom Adat Yosef. He says, ignore Yosef. He says, you know what I mean, ignore Yosef. He ignores the power of Yosef, the protection of Yosef. Because Yosef as a protection is called the Brit Milah of Yosef. Yosef made everybody in Egypt to have Brit Milah. It says, as long as you have Brit Milah, you are protected. So the Brit Milah is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, as long as you have it, even though with the Gezerah of Avraham Avinu, your children are going to be slaves, as long as you have Brit Milah, you have protection, that's your shield. Meaning you finish with the Brit Milah, then hardship, bitterness started. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once you only said there, to come to the same point that your father came in Egypt. This is the preparation for that, is you should know what's the most important thing at Leila Seder in order to get this connection. It says, first I want you to know you have to use your mouth with the right things. It says, what you have to eat is a piece of meat in Tambet HaMikdash, and then you have to have a piece of matzah, a piece of maror. It says, maror, I'm going to eat. It's not because to remember the suffering. It's to remember what caused the suffering. Cause the suffering was the Brit Milah. I said, therefore, I want to explain to you something. In the beginning, it was very sweet in Egypt. It was paradise. And then, all of a sudden, it was an agony. It says the best thing you take lettuce. Lettuce in the beginning is sweet, at the end is bitter. It says because in Egypt also was the same thing. First was sweet, and that was bitter. It says the beginning was sweet. This is why, because he had Brit Mila. Yosef was there, everybody was there, but it's Brit Mila. It says it was a pleasure to be in Egypt. It says the end was a tragedy to be in Egypt. It says that's because he stopped with Brit Mila. It says therefore you take that vegetable and you put it in your mouth. Now it says mouth in Hebrew is called peh. Numerical value of a peh is 85. Mila is also 85. It says the mouth, so-called, is the mirror of your Brit Mila. It says the lips of a person, so-called, resembles the mouth of a person, resembles, so-called, some kind of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it says, please, have more on your mouth. Not to remember the hardship in Egypt, to remember what caused the hardship in Egypt. It says, what is really, what's behind it? Behind it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with me. Let me explain to you something. On the night of Pesach, after this Brit Mila, first of all, was light in Egypt, says the Zohar, the whole night. And then in the morning we came out of Egypt, we took dough, and the dough never became chametz. I said, what does it mean, you know? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. The way the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lechem Yomah, Hashem is going out with us. It says, what caused it? Hashem came out, is going with you, because Hashem kissed you. Hashem gave you a kiss. Hashem gave you a kiss because it's Brit Mila. It says that, what Rav Gamliel says, this is a must that you have to say on the night of Pesach in order to prepare redemption. That's what the Zohar says, and the Pesach can be redemption. Redemption means a kiss, a holy kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That holy kiss, it's a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. He says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to use my mouth only night of Pesach to eat those things, because those things that I eat, so-called, gives a message to myself to understand the purpose of this chag, of this holiday, is not just to remember what happened in Egypt, it's to prepare me. That's what Agadah will say after this statement from Ramiel. It says every generation, a person has to imagine that he's coming out of Egypt. So, what do you mean, imagine you coming out of Egypt? Can you imagine you came from a concentration camp? It's a joke. I said, concentration camp, whoever was there knows what the concentration camp means. It is this, I want to make something to remember. You can't remember concentration camp. You can't remember what happened in Egypt. You don't understand. Hashem does not want you to remember what happened in Egypt. Hashem wants you to remember what was the feeling that you came out of Egypt. The feeling that I came out of Egypt was a kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, that's what I have to feel on the night of the Leil HaSeder. Therefore, so he says, therefore, that you have to have one of the five kinds of vegetables, because five resemble so-called five bad forces that rule the world and so-called gave power, the power to rule our fathers in Egypt. The night of Pesach is the night that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Zohar takes over. Says before the night of Pesach, Hashem left so-called those five powers, it's called Mantabach, to control this world. All the tragedies and the agony that you had before Pesach is just a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so-called Tzev Zohar, he's set up with the world. The night of Pesach, Hashem comes and he takes control. And he takes control by looking at who is the guy that he wants to kiss. And says, Pesach, Matzah, Maaretz, Tzev Zohar, it's a crucial thing. You must take it, and I said, you must eat it, and you have to know the reason for that. The reason is, Aleluya Abdi Hashem, that we say immediately after this, praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are so-called the slave for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It means that's what it means, that Kadosh Baruch Hu came and so-called took me under his wings and he kissed me. It says the night of Pesach, says Dari, this is what Hashem divided in the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu first came, Hashem told him, tell him to do Korban Pesach. Tell him to do sacrifice, roast it, eat matzah, eat maror. Hashem never said, well, if it doesn't have Brit Mila, don't give it to him. Because no one wanted to really Brit Mila in the beginning. He says, when really they wanted to Brit Mila, later, when they felt the smell of Gan Eden that came after Moshe roasted his own meat. And therefore, the Torah will tell you that halacha, that a person without Brit Mila or a slave without Brit Mila, cannot participate in the sacrifice of Pesach, it's because the sacrifice of Pesach is not the sacrifice, it's the kiss. It's not the maror. It's so-called understanding what caused so-called the hardship in Mitzrayim. What matter? That's what the Zohar says. Matzah is called the bread of redemption. It says, what do you mean bread of redemption? It says, that is the bread that resembles what happened after Hashem kissed me. That's what Arim said. That's the second sentence in Shir HaShirim. That's the custom to say Shir HaShirim after you say Haggadah Shel Pesach. You find in the Haggadah Shir HaShirim. People say Shir HaShirim. They say, what is Shir HaShirim? That's the second sentence. It says, Yishaklini min Shikot Piyu, Kitobim Dodech Ram Yayin. It says, Hashem, please kiss me. Kiss me. It says, that's what Shlomo HaMelech writes in the Shir HaShirim. Kiss me. It says, what, where do you get this idea? Hashem should kiss you. Why would he kiss me? Yishaklini min Shikot Piyu, Kitobim Dodech Ram Yayin. It says, because this is something that's like a pleasure, like a wine, that's the reason for the Bakwa Sotah, he says. But the idea is they should be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, therefore, it's, of course, prepare for Pesach, it's a very big thing. But you have to understand what is the punchline of Pesach. The punchline is not, you know, sit down and say that I have Matzah and Maror, and have all the good things, Baruch Hashem had a very nice Seder. It's to expect a kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to be redeemed to go to Yerushalayim Rabbah Menachem. The Al Merorim means the main thing is Maror. The Al Merorim Yochlu. The main thing what you have to eat is because you have to remember what happened. Why did you become a slave?
It's not till after Pesach. After Pesach, the rabbi is going to resume his class.
3 weeks from today.
Amen.
You can't
Amen.